It's good to hear young voices bring praise to the Lord. Amen. This morning, I just want to speak to you concerning a little bit on faith. Excuse me. Sometimes, even in our walk, we tend to forget what God can do. I'm just going to be very comfortable here. Is that all right? I'll try not to act normal. The other day, I was near Jack's, and I heard my name called, and here there was a couple bikers standing over by the gazebo in the middle of Mecca Circle. So I went over there and realized they were a couple that I knew. And they proceeded to share with me what had been happening in their lives. In the past 2 years, if you can recall, There were a couple that came out to the church to share a testimony for Biker Sunday. And they didn't know what direction to go as far as where God was leading them, what to do next. And so they were placing their faith in God. And during the 2 years, something had happened. And they started to share with me and said, you know what? He said, Pastor Steve, the day that you invited us to speak, we were there not knowing what's next in our lives. But right after, we got connected with a group of bikers. It opened up a door that we were able to minister to the one percenters. Those clubs that normally no one gets in. And they were able to minister to the point of not just hanging out, but praying with people that do not go to church, ministering to people that were hurting, these tough bikers, but yet they were able to get to their level and speak the love of Christ to them. They said it wouldn't have been possible unless you had opened up those doors. I said, he goes, because of you, we were able to minister. What they didn't know was the week before I was crying out to God, Lord, what's going on? You know, sometimes we don't see the fruits of our labor. And we can get discouraged at times. Can pastors get discouraged? Every one of my pastor's friends will say yes. And so at that moment, I'm praying to God, you know, Lord, I would like to see something. And that day was a day when God revealed his hand. As they started to share, let me just share a little. And I'm going to read a scripture, don't worry. But they started to share a couple testimonies. I had to write them down. One testimony, they were in a restaurant just with a group. And one of the ladies started to pray, Lord, we don't know why we're here. We don't know what's going on, you know. And they end up eating right there in the restaurant. And just before they went to pay the bill, the waitress comes out and says, yeah, your bill is paid. It's $180. Your bill is paid. And so this lady, she jumps up. She goes, I did a David dance. I danced before the Lord, and I started praying. She goes, we got together, that group, right in the middle of the restaurant, and we started praying. Lord, bless the person that blessed us. Bless that person financially. Bless them spiritually. Bless them. And she continues on. Meanwhile, unbeknown to them, the person that paid the bill was sitting in the booth next to them. They never left. And so he heard the whole thing. They didn't find this out until after he had left and the waitress came back and told them. You see, sometimes God moves in mysterious ways, you know. And so right after that, you know, they got really excited and talking among themselves. And they said, you know what, we need to bless our waitress. You know, so they pulled the money together and gave her an $80 tip. So, wow. And the captain of the group, he turns to the group afterwards and says, you know what, I feel that God is speaking to me, telling me that this waitress needs more. She needs to pay a bill, and she doesn't have enough money. And so they said, you know what, okay. So they pulled together some more money. And it ended up being like $150, $160 bucks. And they approached the lady once again and gave her the second half. But before they gave it to her, they said, you know, God, we believe God is speaking to us. And so we want to give this to you because maybe there's an unpaid bill that needs to be paid or whatever it may be. But, you know, we need to let you know God loves you. And the lady started crying. She said, I have an electric bill that is due, is about to be shut off. And it's actually $180. And so the guy quickly pulls out another $20 and puts it on there. Paid in full. You know, that's awesome. You know, sometimes we don't see the fruits of our labor, but God is still working behind the scenes. And sometimes, and I'm going to say this, and you got to listen closely. Sometimes faith will change fact. Hear me out. Because we're working in the natural, and we forget that God works in the spiritual. You see, sometimes we see the facts before us, and we forget that God does beyond, above what we can ever imagine. And we're stuck on the facts. Well, God can deliver, and then we put a but. God can heal, but. God can minister, but. You ever wonder? And so, what kind of faith do you have? And that's the challenge that I want you to consider as we move forward. Because see, the Word of God says that we ought to believe what Jesus says, that it is possible. The impossible happens. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, there's a story of about a man that approached Jesus. And his daughter was sick. And the Bible says that this man approached Jesus and asked him to come and heal his daughter. Chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by a ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and he saw him and fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my daughter lies to the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. What builds your faith? Sometimes we need to experience something to truly understand, truly comprehend what God can do. Sometimes we need to hear what the Word of God says so that we can believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what the Scripture says. And so, what builds the faith up? And here this man, he knew, he heard about Jesus, and he was about to experience firsthand what Jesus can do. And sometimes I put myself in their shoes, and I ask myself, how much do I believe that God can do? Where's the cutoff point? Are you with me this morning? Where's the cutoff point? Because sometimes we have a cutoff point. You know, oh, God can touch that person, but not me. And so here this ruler is watching Jesus. And all of a sudden Jesus gets hindered. Because the story, it kind of has a hiccup to it. And a woman crosses his path. This woman had an issue of bleeding continuously. But yet she knew that if she would grab a hold of the hem of Christ's garment, that she would be healed. What built her faith? What was it that she knew that she believed that Christ was going to heal her? She wasn't going to ask him. She was just going to touch him. Interesting. Because that is faith. But that is the type of faith that God is calling us to have. That is the type of faith that we're supposed to put in the hands of Christ. And so here, as soon as she was healed, the Bible says that everyone knew all about it because she had to stand up and say, hey, it was me that touched your hem. But that ruler was still there. Jesus is taking his time to get to his daughter. And I wonder if he was beside himself. The Bible doesn't say. But it just says that he asked for Christ to come to his house to heal his daughter. And so the Bible continues, and just as they were about to go to his house, a servant appeared. And the servant said in verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troubles thou the master any further? The next verse says it all. Be not afraid, only believe. How do you build up your faith? Be not afraid, only believe. But you see, let me explain something here. I'm hesitating because I hear an echo, so it's driving me nuts. This faith is not, I believe it, I claim it. It's not that kind of faith. This faith is believing the fact that Jesus said in his word he would do it. Believing that he is able and waiting on him. You see, it's not a faith that doesn't have substance, but a faith that is based on the truth of the Word of God. As you hear testimonies, as you read the Word of God, as you listen to the songs, you are being built in your faith by what the Word of God claims and how true it is. The impossible is possible, you see? And so I challenge you, what type of faith do you have? And what builds your faith? You see, because proximity doesn't build your faith. You're in a church, that doesn't build your faith. It helps. Being near other Christians, it helps. Knowing Jesus builds your faith. Knowing the power and the resurrection power of Christ builds your faith. Knowing that God doesn't work in our timeline, but that he does work behind the scenes builds your faith. That even though you might go out of your way, God is still there builds your faith. As I was studying, this is what builds my faith. I'm going to share real quickly some of the feasts that are in the Bible. purpose of you understanding what builds your faith. The first feast in the Bible that the Jews celebrate is the Passover. The Passover is found in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 talks of when the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt. And as they were in bondage, God appeared to Moses to let them know, hey, I'm going to deliver you. And so when the time came that God was going to deliver them, fast forwarding it, God spoke to them and said, listen, this is the last plague that I'm going to bring. But I need for you to take a lamb without blemish, slay it, and place the blood on the doorposts, so that when the death angel passes over and sees the blood on the door, it will not stop. This is the Passover that the Israelites celebrate. Now, this lamb was a male lamb that had to be slain. And the Passover was supposed to be a reminder to us of what was to come. And as we fast forward it to today, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, turn with me there, we find that Paul is preaching concerning the Passover. And I said 2 Corinthians, correct? While I'm in 1 Corinthians. And here when Paul was preaching, when he wrote this letter, he said the male lamb, remember, at the Passover was without blemish. And here Paul says, Jesus, he has made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It's interesting to see that Jesus is the Lamb of God that was without blemish, that was slain for the purpose of saving us. You see, because we're going to die because of our sins. But yet, because of the blood of the Lamb, we've been passed over, so to speak. In John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, and John saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You see, the sacrifice was needed in order for us to be purged from sin. And so as I'm turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Bear with me this morning. And we see here in Luke, chapter 22, Jesus saying to his disciples, in verse 17, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine in the kingdom of until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The cup likewise, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me at the table. And truly the Son of Man goes, and it is determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Now, the point of this is that Jesus is saying, listen, because it is needed for me to die. This is a reminder. Every time we take communion, this is a reminder of what he sacrificed for us. And this is the Passover that we remembered. This is the Passover that we keep in mind. The second feast is a feast of unleavened bread. It is also celebrated around a similar time. It's about 7 days after the Passover. It represents separation. It represents separation from sin. And that doesn't make sense. But let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, there was a rush to leave Egypt. And God's word says, you are to prepare quickly and leave. Don't put any leaven. Don't put anything in this bread. But make sure that it's unleavened bread. And we don't understand the significance of that until later on in the scriptures. Because in the scriptures we find that Jesus himself talks about himself. And he says, I am the bread of life. Okay. And then later on, we find that Jesus also talks about an unleavened. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And during that time, the disciples were questioning, why are you talking about this? Do we don't have any bread? What are you saying? But as you read further down in the chapter, in verse 12, verse 11 says, how is it that you do not understand that I spake it not of you concerning bread, but that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. The unleavened represented, or the leaven represented sin. And so he says, beware of that. Beware of that doctrine. But then we get to the bread of life. And if the leavened bread represents sin, we can truly say that the unleavened bread represents Christ himself. Because the word of God says that he was without sin. And there was no deceit found in him. And so, turn with me also to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I said 1 Corinthians. Maybe this will help explain things. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, or leaven of sin, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is the thing that that kind of builds up the faith. When you realize that since the beginning of time, God had prepared things in order for us to be reminded of his goodness and grace. And each feast seems to point directly to Christ himself. The feast of the Passover as Christ the sacrificial lamb. The feast of the unleavened bread as the one that is not sin, the one that is perfect, that represents sanctification for us. Who knew no sin. There's a couple more feasts. Then there's a feast of first fruits. The Feast of First Fruits is all about a day of thanksgiving concerning God's provision. It's a day of expectation for the harvest that is to come. And we read it in Leviticus chapter 23 concerning the first fruits that they're supposed to take the sheave of the first barley and wave it before God as a sacrifice. And it was supposed to represent that it is that God was going to provide for them. And so they were thanking him before it even happened. How many give thanks for your food before you eat? Before you eat? Lord, I thank you that you're going to bless this food. I thank you that you're going to provide the strength for this for my body. I thank you, Lord God. But yet, it was a time of thanksgiving prior to everything. And so these first fruits was similar. It was a thanksgiving, giving glory to the only one that brought this to pass. But yet it represents something more. Because if you turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we find that Paul once again is speaking concerning first fruits. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. What he's saying is first fruits was something to be thankful, knowing that in the future there was going to be something coming. There was going to be a provision. There was going to be something that God had instilled for that day. And that first fruit was Jesus. And from Jesus we know that because he died and rose from the dead, what does that mean to us? That we can also rise. That there is the promise that Jesus was the first one, the first fruit of what's in store for us. It's a building of the faith. The first fruits are those who are asleep. It's the promise of new quality of life that we have in Christ. It's a promise of what is in store, the future resurrection for the believers. And the last one that I want to speak on, there's seven, but I only want to speak on four, is the Feast of the Harvest. It's a completion of what the first fruit has done. It's a completion of what is in store. You see, or the Feast of the Harvest, or the Feast of Weeks. The reason why it's called the Feast of the Weeks represents 50 days. Or another The name is Feast of Pentecost. And according to our calendar, if my math is correct, 50 days after Easter is Pentecost. Today is Pentecost. Feast of the Harvest. We find that in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15 to 22. It's a time of thanksgiving, a time of joy for the new harvest that is coming. And it also commemorates the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the law. It was a time when God poured out himself into the people. It was a completion of what the first fruits represents. You see, in the book of Joel, it talks about where in the latter days that God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, upon sons and daughters. Old men shall dream dreams and young men shall see visions. I still see visions. I'm claiming that. But it was in the book of Acts when the day of Pentecost happened. I heard that, Kevin. In the book of Acts. And so what had happened was that was when the church was born. That was when the power of God fell. That was when the church caught on fire. That was when the Spirit of God fell among the people. That day, the Holy Spirit invaded humanity. It was the promise that was given to the seekers. It was the power of God revealed in mortal bodies. Why do I say that? Because when you look at the book of Acts in chapter 2, you find that these were regular men of God. These were men that had went into an upper room. Men and women that had dedicated themselves to prayer, seeking and waiting for the promise of God. But something built their faith up. Something caused them to wait. Something caused them to be stirred up, knowing that God was going to answer. Something caused them to believe in the word of Christ when he said, tarry here until you receive the power, until you receive the promise. What built their faith? What built their faith was the fact that they seen Christ in action. What built their faith was the fact that they felt Christ in action in their lives. What built their faith was the fact knowing that this was real and that there was nothing else more powerful than the love of God living and also being reacting in your spirit. And that day in the book of Acts, it was a continuation of the ministry of Jesus. It was a ministry of hope. It was a ministry of salvation. It was a ministry of renewal. It was a ministry of refreshing. This is the age that we're living in. That is a continuation until Christ comes back. And so as we read the scriptures, we know what is true, then stand on it, because that is what builds your faith. How can we face tomorrow? Because God is already in our tomorrow. How can we survive tomorrow? Because God is in control. How can we look forward to seeing God provide in our lives? Because the word of God says it, and we stand on it. And God will see us through. You see, this is the things that build our faith. When we read the word of God and we start to understand that it was not just a bunch of words put together, but it's the truth of God's word that is speaking life into our hearts, that is speaking clarity into our lives, that when we receive it and when we believe it, we know that God is able, period. That is what builds your faith. The word of God says, this scripture had spoke volumes to me when I wrote it down. It says, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die, it abides alone. So what does that mean? But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. What are you saying? He's saying there comes a time where you have to die to self and allow God to create something new from you. You see, because the old man has to die in order for the new man to live. I lost some of you. You see, the minute you receive salvation, you're no longer the same person that you once were. But now you are a new man. It's represented in baptism that you are the old man going under, becoming new, being washed by the washing of the word, created new by the blood of Christ. And so it says here, the only way a corn of wheat can produce more is if it is, if it dies, if it's buried. That is the only way. You can lay it on your table and it will not produce corn. It will not produce wheat. It will not produce barley. But until you get that seed and plant it, until it dies, it will produce. And that is what the Word of God is saying. Until you allow yourself, your whole old nature to die and allow God to be in control, He will produce beauty out of the ashes. And so as I was looking at the feast, like I said before, there's seven, and we can go a lot deeper, but I was just trying to tell you a summary. The last three feasts points to a future event. The first four were concerning the Messiah. The last three are the Feast of the Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. But these are things in the Scripture that ought to build your faith, because they're a reminder that God is coming soon. That if He said it and He has done it before, then why don't we believe that when He comes back, that He will take His people too? Amen? You see, because we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. We believe that He is going to rapture the saints. We believe. What builds your faith? What builds your faith? The Word of God. The Word of God. What He has said has held truth till now. Excuse me. The songs that they sung this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You ever wonder why that was created? It was because the songwriter knew who God was, who God is. You see, because he stood on the promise of God. He stood on the word, and it built his faith. It caused him to remember that God was true in spite of whatever he faced. That God is true. One more. I'm going to close. One of the most favorite scriptures in the Bible seems to be Psalms 91. Because it reminds us of who we are and how God can provide for us in our lives when we're in the midst of struggles. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are you hearing that? He that dwells. He's talking about those that place their lives in the Master's hand. He's talking about the one that says, it's all about him and not about me. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He continues, he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. You see, when you start understanding who God is, it doesn't matter what you hear. What matters is what you believe in, your foundation. And going back to the story of Jairus, when Jesus spoke to him, he says, only believe. Don't listen to those that speak in your ears that says the opposite, but only believe. Build up your faith by this. Build up your faith by my words. That's what Jesus was saying. Only believe. And as they approach the house, the Bible says that there were mourners before the house and in the house. And when Jesus stepped in and they found out that Jesus was there to heal the daughter, they laughed. You see, sometimes people will not understand why you believe the way you believe. Why do you trust in that Jesus? Why is it that you have that kind of hope? Because every time I need him, he shows up. Every time I start questioning and say, God, where are you at? He steps in. You see, it wasn't by coincidence that I ran into those bikers. It was God ordained. To the point where, you know, we ended our conversation. We probably talked about a good 45 minutes there in the middle of the circle. And they turned to me and said, we want to pray for you. All right, go ahead, pray for me. I don't care. You know, staying in the middle of the circle. Well, go ahead. You know, and so we grabbed each other's hand. We were social distancing. We grabbed each other's hands and started praying. They prayed for me. You know, when you start talking about the goodness of God, then I kind of get excited. And I turn around, I'm going to pray for you now, you know. And I start praying for them. When we finish, I looked up and there's a car at the stop sign. Hey! What? The guy was excited that we were praying right there in the middle of the circle. You know, sometimes God just moves in mysterious ways. Because it was edifying for my spirit as well as for theirs. Because they were there and this was their prayer. We pulled up and we didn't know why we were here. And we didn't even know you lived over there. And we hadn't seen you in 2 years. And I said, and we're sitting here praying, Lord, you know, why are we here? What's the purpose? Why are we here? And then we seen you walking. And we realized that's why. We needed to share what God has been doing. And they poured into my spirit and got me excited. I'm like, wow. And it built up my faith. You see? Because that's exactly what we need to do. As we get together, remind each other. As the day approaches, the goodness of God, the mercies of God, his grace, what he has done and how he has done it and how he still moves even today. We forget that. We forget that the power of God is still the same as in the days of old. It's still the same today. Don't tell me that the power of God has changed, because I've already seen it where God has moved. I've seen I didn't ask permission, so I'm going to share this. The worst he can do is break up with my daughter. No. You can ask him about it. But here, whether you believe it or not, Chad went to a service, and the power of God fell so strong, he started speaking in tongues. Chad. Now let me share something more. Power of God was so strong, he was closing in prayer, and he was slain in the spirit. He didn't finish praying. He didn't even start praying. Is that possible? I'm not saying that's what needs to be done. What I'm saying, this is how real God is. I didn't see that coming. Chad. But you know Chad. You ask him and you're going to find out how real it was to him. But that's just a little bit. The power of God can change a life to the point where one of the other testimonies that I failed to mention was that when this couple, they had invited some of these bikers, and they spoke into these bikers' lives, and this biker came to a service, and before he even went through the door, he met them at the door. He says, "Listen, I can't wait till the altar call. I need to get saved now." That's the power of God. Something impacted him. Something built up his faith. He knew how real it was. Something got a hold of his heart and just rattled him to the core. That's the power of God. So what builds up your faith? Because when you start reading the Word of God and start seeing how God moves, and you start looking around and you start seeing people that have been changed by the power of God, you know how real it is. You know what God can do. And you need to stand upon the promises that God has stated for you. Let it build up your faith. Because God is able. God is able. You see, and I shared this before, and it's a familiar passage. We know the story of the three Hebrew children, but I want you to keep in mind one scripture that is there, or one verse that is there. They said, "We know that God can deliver us, but if he chooses not to, we will not bow." What build up their faith? They knew that God was able, and they stood fast. And even if he wasn't going to deliver, they stood fast. Now that's faith. That's faith, not faith that is not based on fact, but faith that is based on the Word of God. Supernatural deliverance. Only God can change. Only God can move. Only God can deliver. So stand upon His Word and believe what God has said. Amen. This morning, if there's a need, as they're playing, we believe a God that is able to meet that need. And so even though there's not an altar here, there's still a God here. And so if you have a need this morning, you can come on up and we'll pray with you. Amen.
Strength when I am weak, you are the treasure that I seek, you are my only Lord.